This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Friday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek.
And I'm Jamie Jennings, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 16th, episode 1719. And we are coming at you live from the American Horse Publications Conference in Scottsdale, Arizona. It's the only way you're going to get me to Scottsdale, by the way. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, Horse World. It's Friday.
When I get off of work on Friday.
Everybody's favorite day of the week on Horses in the Morning.
So let the good times roll. Let the good times roll. I don't care if you're young or old. Get together, let the good times roll. Don't sit there lonely.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Friday morning afternoon combination we got going here. Jamie's dressed up. She actually wore clothes to come over to Scottsdale.
I commuted to work this morning.
You
I had
did.
To drive all the way across the city to be here.
You did. And I had to fly all the way across the country. It's so good to be in the same room as
I
you
know,
again.
It's weird.
Rolex, I guess, was the last time.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's nice to be in the same place. But we're so lucky today because we get to talk to about 100 different people as the day goes on. We have a whole bunch of guests lined up, and we have our first two with us here, and we're going to find out why we're here from one of them. We have Diana DeRosa here with us, who's the president of the American Horse Publications, and I would like to say is a reporter, a live reporter for the Horse Radio Network, been on many locations and done reports with us. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I really enjoy working with the Horse Radio Network, and I am so excited to be here at the American Horse Publications annual seminar.
For a second, I thought we were in trouble. Like, she paused like she was, we were in trouble, but we're okay.
Well, it's so good to have you here. We also have Debbie Laux of Horsemanship Radio.
Hi.
Yay.
Hi, Ben
Debbie.
And Jamie. How are you guys?
Welcome to Arizona. I never see you guys here.
I know.
I'm always
we
visiting
came
y'all.
To visit.
We're going to come over later to raid your property and to see your little baby Zara.
See all the,
Zara and your
and
pony.
Precious
and,
magic. What is the
name?
Yeah,
I can't remember
name
either.
Names, obviously. So here's the deal. Glenn messages me at...
That's 6 o'clock this morning.
Yeah. 6 o'clock this morning, and then 7 and then 8. And he's like, oh, by the way, you know, I'm getting dressed to come here. Oh, by the way, Debbie and I are coming to your house today.
Yeah. We're showing up.
You know what that means in my world? Oh, shoot. I got to clean.
No.
Oh, my God. I told Chad, my husband comes out. I'm like, Glenn and Debbie are coming over tonight. And he's like, oh, crap. I'm like, I know. I know what we're going to do.
We won't go in the house.
We won't go in
the house.
We're looking at the
go
horses.
Out to dinner.
Oh, no. He's cleaning right now. Your flycots are coming in.
God, what have we done? Glenn,
well, I don't know. God, well, we couldn't be this close and not go over and meet the ponies.
Exactly. I wouldn't see Zara.
Yeah. So, oh my gosh. Glad we're getting to do that.
Yeah, I love it. His reaction was just, he was like, oh, crap.
Oh, well, thanks for inviting us anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
She didn't You're invite
welcome.
Us.
Come
she
over.
Actually didn't
so
invite
excited.
Us. Well, Diana,
you're welcome too. I mean,
everybody can come. Yeah, why not? So tell us, what is AHP, American Horse Publications?
You know, my interpretation of the American Horse Publication is an organization for publications that want to network with each other, but for also for businesses and services that want to have a chance to network with the publications. Yeah. You know, I think that sometimes businesses and services don't understand that this is a great opportunity for them to be able to meet the people behind the scenes at these different media. They're always wanting to, you know, say, how can I get an article in this publication or what have you? Well, here you go. Meet the people, talk to them in person, pitch your ideas, network with them, find out what you can do. This is an organization about publications.
And you've got journalists here, you have publishers here, you have the printers here who actually print the magazines. And Jamie's eyeballs lit up as she came in. We're in kind of the resource media center here. And the whole wall, which is at least 50 feet long, is full of magazines that people can take home. And
even a chicken magazine.
There's
blend,
a chicken
is there?
Magazine,
which I already have in my bag.
I figured she'd walk out here with a ton of magazines. Sorry, Jennifer, I can't bring you any. I'm up to my weight limit. I'll have to buy a new bag.
That's also the beauty of this, is that as a member, you can put something into the resource center, and you will find out that the resource center is the place. There are meetings here. There are, they take sessions, where you can just take a break for a half an hour. Throughout the day, everybody comes to the media center. They're always looking for what's new each year. Mm-hmm.
I am so excited, too, that we are the first podcast ever from AHP. So we're the first media to do live radio.
Thank you. We love that you're doing that this year.
Well, it is so much fun. And you guys are all friends. You were talking earlier about relationships is what you're really talking about. And in this business, they're critical.
Absolutely. I've done so much. I've covered 8 Olympic Games. I've covered every World Equestrian Games. And over the years, I've spoken to so many people on the phone, gotten assignments via email. But when you come to the American Horse Publications, you get to meet all of those people in person. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's all about. You get this chance to network. You get this chance to actually shake their hands, to sort of talk about different things you've done, and maybe get potential jobs.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, that's neat. And I didn't realize, we came last year for the first time, and the person that was responsible for harassing me enough to come is coming up on the show next, Sarah. And she was the one that hounded me all the time about coming. And I'm glad I did. I didn't realize there were so many of the industry people here, the Zoetises and the others that are here from the industry for that reason you said. And I didn't realize that.
I think when you see the quality of our sponsors, the quality of the magazines that are here, you have the top, you have all different kinds of magazines. You have the smallest of the small, but you've got the biggest of the bigs. And for our sponsors, it's the same thing. We've got some of the most prominent sponsors. I mean, to me, that speaks volumes.
It really does. And, you also do something here, and Jamie's coming back to Scottsdale. I got her to come twice to Scottsdale. And I don't know what's wrong with Scottsdale. We were driving around last night.
My neighborhood.
Yeah, but okay, that's homebody.
But I would like to point out that I am coming tomorrow night to come and stay here at this nice resort. And I'm coming by myself, and I'm going to starfish in that bed like all night.
I thought you were bringing the family.
Nope. They're staying home.
Well, you're going to like the room. It's huge.
And I'm going to have a king bed, and I'm going to lay in there and just disappear in the covers and sleep like a starfish. My arms out, just all the space I could possibly need. I'm so excited. I have a 4-year-old.
Yeah. And about 12 dogs. So now, they're also, the reason you're coming back tomorrow night is they do awards every year. Tell us about the awards.
Yes, we do. I think that's one of the key elements of the annual, American Horse Publications event. We do awards. I mean, we give out a lot of awards.
You do.
So we've got covers and we've got stories and we've got photographers. So it just gets swarmed with all these people that come in that are so excited that they might have a chance for a potential award, some placement or some first place winning. I mean, I've won in the past, and it's a wonderful, exciting feeling to know that you're being recognized for the quality of your work.
Okay. So now this year, because I harassed you guys so much last year about putting a podcast category in, and you did this year. Thank you very much, by the way.
Oh, it's your fault.
Yeah, it's my fault. Okay. I harassed them endlessly last year. I kept saying, where's the podcast category? And you had like 10 entries this year, so it was pretty well represented. Now, I think I submitted half of them.
Oh.
But I think that was part of it. But the two finalists are Horses in the Morning, which you're listening to right now, and Debbie's show, Horsemanship Radio. Oh,
that is just not fair.
Horse Radio Network wins either way, right?
Exactly.
But we are here to say we're going to kick your ass. Okay, that's what we're here to say, Debbie.
That's why you invited me here.
What's so sad is like trying to beat Debbie is like kicking a puppy.
I know.
It is.
It is kind of like doing that.
It is the worst. I hope you win so bad.
Well, it was your interview, your episode.
I laugh like Glenn. I'm like, Glenn, I just listened to
that. Yeah, we have no chance. Tell everybody what your episode was.
My episode was about the Tennessee Walking Horse issue, which is, of course, there's a
tug on the heartstrings right away, you know, that we're trying to help those horses. But then I thought I'd back it up with a little powerhouse called Priscilla Presley, which unfortunately
so she got the king's wife.
I got the king's wife. But she's very passionate about it. And, you know, I didn't have to do it.
It was a lovely interview.
Thank you. Yeah, she did a good job. She did a good job.
So genuine and so heartfelt. And you just did such a great job interviewing her.
If I get nothing more of a win than that, thank you very much.
Like, Glenn, we're screwed.
Yeah, we are. We had Leslie.
Leslie Riley. It's just hilarious.
It was funny.
I asked Glenn to send me the link so I could listen.
I never listened to my show, so I don't know what we talked about, but yours is really good.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much. Well, it'll be fun. I'm going to milk it for all it's worth until
I'm sure you will. Well, we'll let everybody know tomorrow night on Facebook what that is. We'll do a little Facebook Live tomorrow night.
Please don't let us kick the puppy.
You know, though, I think what we're talking about is the beauty of the AHP, that we really feel that it's not about me. It's not about the board. It's about the members. And so the fact that you came and said you wanted a podcast, I remember in the very beginning when I came on and there were publications that I'd written for or photographed for, and they weren't members. So they added a category that allowed me to enter, even if the publication wasn't, you know, I could enter one entry or something. But that's what we do, is we need to listen to our members.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. We appreciate it. Thank you for inviting us and putting us up here. And we also appreciate all your reporting you do for us from the road.
Yeah. On the road again,
Keep calling in. Thank you, Diana.
You're welcome.
It's AmericanHorsePublications.com or org?
It's
.org. Okay. AmericanHorsePublications.org. Thank
Sarah's
you, Diana.
Keep us all straight.
Appreciate it.
For inviting me.
You're welcome. Now, next sitting down here, we're having lined up today. You're going to have all kinds of guests. We have Sarah Conrad, my old friend from Lexington, Kentucky. How are you?
Yes, we are old friends.
You have to come right up about an
it's
inch
good
from
to
the
meet
microphone.
You too, Jamie. I've never met
nice
you before.
Nice to meet you. Yeah. So
we went to the fair together and ate funnel cake together. So yes. I think that counts as old friends, right?
Oh, yeah. Man. So the couple that get sick together.
Yes. That's right. You had your child was just young then too.
Yeah. Little.
Yeah. It was fun to see him ride all the rides and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, now you're the reason that I'm here in the first place, because for about 7 years, there's been harassing me to come to this convention. And, you know, why are you so passionate about AHP?
Well, I've been a member off and on for about 17 years. And the only reason that I was out of AHP was because I went into the travel industry for a few years. So I had to come back to horses though. And it's just been great. It's great when I was on staff at publications and the educational events and networking. And it's so fun to like meet so many different people, and you meet book authors and you meet other freelancers and photographers, and the networking's great. And it's just, and it's so much fun, and everybody, it's like a wonderful community, and everybody is so nice and so genuine, and everybody's there to help each other, you know, even though like a lot of industries believe, oh, they're my competitor. You know, that's another publication. They're my competitor. But here it's,
I wondered,
you know,
a little bit about that. If somebody sees somebody else, is there a little like, not little competition?
I have not seen that.
I haven't either. Yeah.
I mean, every publication obviously has to earn their money and get their advertisers and everything, but it's such a big, broad industry, and there's so many niches within it. So
I haven't seen too many sales reps everybody out there fighting. So
yeah.
I think
no fisticuffs. Yeah, no, yet.
I haven't seen a ring set up yet.
Yeah, and then the speakers they have are amazing. And Glenn did a great job last year when he spoke about podcasting.
We had
it was a full
maybe
room.
Five magazines come on board with
five
podcasts
people in
since
the room
then.
For
yeah.
Your
speech. Yeah. Yeah, and I think it was the first time. Don't quote me on that. I'm not sure because I missed a few conferences, but the first time podcasting,
I don't think they ever
really
talked about
featured
podcasting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So before. It was good.
Well, what's really cool about this is in the world of horses to see that there are other aspects of the horse world that, you know, we can encourage young people to get involved in, because I have these, you know, I teach riding lessons to kids and all of them want to be around horses, and you can have jobs that aren't necessarily about riding or cleaning stalls or anything. There's so many different aspects, and then you can afford your horse. Which would be really nice. Like,
that other
you can work for a magazine and then like have a horse and pay for it, as opposed to like clean its own stall. You know, it's really fun to see the different avenues of jobs that people can get in the horse world.
Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, when I graduated college and I had the journalism degree and double major in agriculture with an emphasis in equine science, I thought, well, originally I thought, oh, I'm going to work for a newspaper. And then I remember the time that it clicked.
Were you
going to
write the farm report? What?
I realized that I didn't want to just work for a newspaper, like reporting bad news. And, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. I didn't want to do that. And I remember the day that I decided to work for Horse Magazines. But then even since then, like through various jobs I've had, I've learned to love like the digital marketing aspect. And that has grown. And that wasn't even really pushed in my college or taught a lot of at the time. And it's just totally exploded. So I've gotten to expand my career, you know, to do a lot of marketing. And that's been great. So you might find yourself in the horse industry. And then you kind of take these different roads. And
absolutely. And well, that's what's cool to see here. I mean, to have an example to show these kids, like, hey, you can do this. You can work in the horse world. Everybody, parents always go, oh, you can't get a job. I remember my parents. You can't make money with horses. Like, that's crazy. Right.
My dad thought it was a phase.
Oh, yeah, it was a phase.
It's always a phase. It's always a phase.
I wonder if he still thinks it's a phase.
Hey, you're still not making money in the horse world. No. What are you talking about?
To my boarders just yesterday that, listen, I make $6 a day at this facility, so I'm cashing in. Like, I'm in the black. $6 a day, Glenn.
We figured it out one time. We had our boarding facility. We had one of our working students actually track every single thing that was done with a horse over the month.
It sounds like
time, money, everything. You know what it came out to? 50 cents an hour.
Oh, yeah. Wow. No, the $6 a day. I think Chad has done is he's like, you make 22 cents an hour. Like,
yeah. I mean, that's true.
That's painful.
That's going down.
That's why I think it's kind of fun to look outside the horse industry and see what other people are doing to like market or things like that. And then kind of bring it into the horse industry. Like, kind of see how they're doing. So
now you helped, and I think it's up for an award, right? You helped the CHA write their new manual.
I didn't help write it. No,
you
the
edited
committee.
It.
I edited it.
Yeah. Okay. She is now. There's Christy. Hi, there Christy.
They had their treasurer, who was the editor in chief, and then I took my crack at it. So we had several people edit it, and then, it was written by a committee of like really experienced horse people.
Christy Landwehr just sat down, coming right in close to the mic.
You know how this is done. I know. Kiss the mic.
Kiss the mic. So Christy does our CHA episode once a month, and we were just talking about the fact that you're up for that award for the manual.
Yes, I heard that transition. I said I must come over.
She was stalking us. Yes. She can't leave us. So why do you think it is up for the award? And which category is it in?
It's in the...
There's 1,000 categories. I can't.
Nonfiction equine book category.
Well, that fits.
Yes.
Because it's an instruction manual.
Yes.
So why do you think?
I think, you know, we finally got kind of coffee table with it. So we actually did really beautiful pictures of the breastplate of like a, like the breast collar, right? Mm. Or just a spur, right? Or things like that on the beginning of every chapter. We did a little bit. And then we still have all the forms in the back, so it's still very educational.
Yeah.
So I think it was just kind of it was time to rewrite the thing. And quite frankly, I think we do a good job in this industry of like the certifying of instructors, but we don't teach them how to teach. Mm. So who's best to do that? But probably us. We've been around 50 years. So now we're teaching people how to teach.
Mm-hmm. And I think the resource section in the back is like, worth it alone.
There's a lot in
sample
there.
Sample forms and
so we're excited about
business plans and everything.
It's very fun.
Well, good. Where is it available? Where can people get it?
They can get it on CHA.horse.
Do they have to be a member?
No, absolutely not. No, there is member discounting, but no, anyone can buy it. Okay. Absolutely.
Because Jamie needs a copy.
Thanks, Bob.
She's obviously not making any money. You're figuring
that's
this
right.
Out,
there
so.
You go.
One of the speakers said if you can get one thing out of something. They said last night, if you can get one thing out of something, well, you can definitely get more than one thing out of that manual. So
yeah. I'll buy you a copy. All right.
Thanks, there you go. Has your back.
Yeah.
I'll make sure I do. Well, Sarah, thank you for stopping by. Where can people find you?
The best way is on Facebook. My company, All in Stride Marketing, has a business page. So like everybody can look me up on there and
All
do that.
In Stride Marketing.
Yes.
On Facebook.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Sarah. Thank you. I'm going to send Debbie on an assignment here. So you and Christy have to talk for a second.
Oh,
Debbie,
okay.
Over here.
So, Jamie, first of all, I just want to say it's really fun to put a name to a face because, you know, in radio world, I have to close my eyes and I go, yep, that's Jamie. So it's so good to finally see you.
That's cool.
And yeah, I can't wait to talk a little bit more when we get
further along. Well, usually I get the, oh my God, you're so much shorter than I thought. That's the first thing Glenn ever said to me.
Well, you're sitting right now, so yes, I don't know. True. And the first thing
She's
Glenn
tiny.
Ever said to me is, oh my gosh, you're so tall.
Because all my co-hosts are her size,
you
about 5'2".
Being judgy of people's looks.
I know.
Jane,
we're going to start having height problems, right? We're going to, be concerned. No.
I have to bring Jane over. You can stay. I have to bring Jane over for 1 second. Sit down at the mic. Okay. This is Jane Hart. You know the jewelry I got you?
Yes, my secretariat.
Yes.
It's so beautiful.
Come right into the mic, about an inch away. So this is Jane Hart.
Jane, nice to meet you.
Oh, very nice to meet you.
She has your jewelry.
Thank you. Thank you.
Tell everybody real quick about the new one this year, the one we're going to talk about later. We're going to have her on later on the show.
Oh, well, I have American Pharoah, and I don't have a new one this year, but Pharaoh's
the
newest.
Special one for the 100th anniversary.
Oh, for Man of War.
Man of War.
Yes,
oh,
it's his 100th anniversary. And
I like him better than Secretariat. Christmas again.
He's the mostest horse. Yes. That's what his groom called him, and there's a special celebration now going on throughout the year, especially at the Kentucky Horse Park around his memorial statue there
birthday,
where he's buried. And there's all kinds of activities going on. So I did a new special disc. I've had him in a circle before, but I did him on a disc, which I thought was a little more commemorative.
Cool.
So there's some new pieces
for him. Well, where can people
buy
it?
They can buy it at the Kentucky Horse Park gift shop, and they can buy it at my website, janehart.com. Or horsejewelry.com.
Because I'll have to be shopping for Jamie again.
Yeah.
And have to buy a book and jewelry. This is costing me a lot at this show.
It's going to be expensive
right here,
for you.
Glenn. right here.
Oh, I just heard Jennifer in my ear say, I'm right here, Glenn. I'm right here. And I'll
He's
be getting Jennifer
stuff too.
Yeah.
Good.
He's buy you Smart boy.
And apparently I'll be buying Christy stuff too.
That'd be great.
Wow, I like this.
And Debbie's over there. It's getting expensive here at the show. Thank you, Jane.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
Appreciate it.
Much.
Thanks for stopping by. Well, we have a couple of, come on over, guys. Thank you, Christy. You're coming back, right? All right, good. So we have a couple of guests because every year at AHP, they try and bring up the new, young, budding, entrepreneurial journalists. And we have two of them. Now, you're going to have to explain exactly how this all works, but is it Anise?
Yes. Yep. Anise Montpleasure.
Anise Montpleasure, which is a great name, isn't it?
Thank
that
you.
Is great.
It is a great
Casey
name.
Tim.
And we have Casey Tim here. Now, you have to be about an inch from the mic, guys, and use your outdoor voices, okay?
Yes, sir.
So now, you guys, Anise, tell us what is the award? What is the thing you're doing here this weekend?
Okay, so Casey and I and another young lady named Taylor Pence are here as Student Travel Award winners. So basically, we applied for the Student Award through the American Horse Publications, which is a way of awarding young, aspiring journalists, media professionals who have done very well academically and are really moving up professionally and are hoping to continue to advance ourselves by having the opportunity to be here at the conference.
Which means they're smarter than us, is what that means.
I don't know about that. Just maybe in a different direction.
Maybe that's it. They actually went to school.
So, Student Travel Award winner, do you write about travel? Do you write about... What do you write about? I'm sorry, I'm... Break it down.
No, we're actually in really different fields, amazingly enough. I'm still a student. I'm a junior at West Texas A&M University in Canyon, Texas. I'm an agricultural media and communications major. So I would like to go into equine journalism to write for a magazine. There's so many of them represented here. It's been awesome to meet some of these editors.
Oh, yeah. You're in your wheelhouse,
yeah.
Girl.
Yes, it's phenomenal. Whereas Anise has a little different path, if you want to talk about that.
So for me, I just graduated from North Dakota State University in Fargo, North Dakota.
Welcome to Phoenix.
My God.
Thank you.
This is like an oven for you.
It is very warm.
It's only going to be 120 on Tuesday, so don't worry.
Oh, that's not bad.
That's even hot for a Texan.
You know what? I'll take 120 over your minus 20. So.
Yeah. It's not bad if you know how to dress for it. But my goal, I just recently relocated to Lexington, Kentucky.
Oh, wow.
I'm working as a sales intern for Phasic Tipton, which is a thoroughbred sales company. But ultimately, my goal... this is a very niche area and that's really growing right now, but to work with Spanish horse racing media. So I'm really involved in the horse racing industry, the thoroughbred racing industry.
Do you speak fluent Spanish?
I do, yes. I studied abroad in Chile. for a semester. So that's something I'm hoping to do.
It's Chile.
Chile. Gracias. Chile. Podemos hablar en español. And
so travel abroad,
we have a lot of Spanish-speaking listeners, so say hi to them from Horses in the Morning.
Hola, yo quiero decir hola de Caballos en la Mañana.
Yay!
El podcast.
Pretty. I don't know what you said, but it sounds pretty.
Caballos en la Mañana. I got that.
Horses in the Morning.
There you go. That's
so great. So now you're graduated.
Yeah.
So you're actually on your path. What do you do for Faisic Tipton?
Yeah, so... sales intern, I guess, is just a way of saying jack of all trades for whatever they assign me to do, which is awesome. I'm getting to learn a variety of different things in the company. So I've been doing research on their graded stakes winning graduates. So the very successful horses who the company has sold.
So in the catalog, when they say, you know, they have a stallion ad up sold at Faisic Tipton, you know, you are the one who did that research to find that.
Well, I'm working actually on putting together a database of past graded stakes winning horses.
Oh, cool.
So anywhere from like the late 1980s to 1990s is kind of the decades
era
that I'm
that
working
in,
on
yeah.
right now. So just looking
that
at horses.
That must be fascinating, though.
It's very interesting. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm getting to do a lot of sponsorship proposals for our upcoming events this summer. So particularly Saratoga, the select yearling sale, is kind of the premier sale of the year.
Do you
so
get to go to the sales?
I do.
Oh, yes. That's cool.
Yep. So I'll be at the July sale in Kentucky.
Do you have to sit on your hands?
Not
I would.
Quite.
I would.
I don't have $1 million.
Yeah, your intern salary doesn't do the $1 million sale. No,
not quite. No. Hopefully someday. I aspire to be at that level eventually.
Marry well, my friend.
Amen. Journalism doesn't make money.
Now, do you ride?
I do. Yes, sir. I grew up showing horses. I showed American Miniatures for 12 years.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir. And I've ridden about every
breed
out there.
I'm a driver.
Yes.
Yay!
Awesome. Oh, yeah. I love combined driving. I've been driving all different sizes of horses as long as I can remember.
Horses, so we're together.
There you go. See, we paired off.
Minis.
I love it. Yes, sir. So I've shown American Miniatures all the way up to the national level, and I actually write for the American Miniature Horse Journal.
Oh, yeah.
So I get to write a column every other month.
Yes. Everything she writes is about cute minis.
Right, I mean, yes. And then you throw a kid in there, and it's just, can't handle it.
You can tell she's from Texas because she's yes sir you about 14 times.
I know. And you never do that.
No, sir, I do not.
Could you please?
Look at that. You got a sir out of her. Maybe I'm rubbing off. I'll throw some y'alls in there. I'm a true Southerner.
Well, good luck, guys, and have fun this weekend. And good luck in your careers.
You.
And I'm very excited for you. It's fun to be in this media. We've been doing it for a long time, and it's fun to be in the equestrian media because you get to talk about the thing you love, and that's really cool.
Absolutely. Yes.
That's kind of a special thing that we all get to do. So good luck with it.
We're very blessed to be here. So
yes.
Thank you guys so
have
much.
Have fun.
Thank you.
Right,
it's an honor to be on the show.
Coming.
All right, and here
comes. By the way, I sold a broodmare at Faisic Tipton, and she was definitely not ever a graded stakes winner, so don't look her up.
You will
not see her in your database, no. She was a horse I got off the track and then tried to train as a jumper, and turns out she had really bad ankles, but she was bred well enough to be a broodmare, so that's good.
Can you come over and join us during this game?
Oh my gosh, what
so
is
Debbie's
this?
Coming back She's from here, horsemanship. Yay! And we have Cindy Roman here, who's from The Brook, and of course, The Brook USA. We've had her on the show before, and we talk about The Brook all the time. Monty Roberts does a lot of work
he's
with The Brook.
Yeah, he's a global ambassador for The Brook.
Ambassador.
I think he's the very first global ambassador, actually,
yes,
for The Brook. Yeah.
Until he was showed up by that woman that rides dressage. I don't
Charlotte,
know. Charlotte
something.
Something or other. Yeah. Who cares about her?
She's so, prettier, though.
Yeah.
She is.
So thank you so much, Cindy, for stopping by.
Oh, thank
Come
you.
Come about an inch from
always,
the mic.
Always appreciate being here.
Now, you were holding a sign up. She's carrying this sign around that says freethedonkeys.org. So it's urgent. So what are we talking about?
Well, Free the Donkeys is the name of a summer fundraising campaign that we've got going on. What we're trying to do is free horses, donkeys, and mules from suffering this summer in Ethiopia. So we're building massive shade shelters in a couple of market areas that I should back up a little bit. Horses, donkeys, and mules in Ethiopia are used to transport goods. So they transport these very, very heavy
I'm trying not to cry right now.
I know. I'm sorry.
they carry these heavy loads over miles to market areas. And then normally they have to stand in the sun all day long, no shade, no water, no food, while the owners are selling their goods. And then they have to carry those goods back home again at night. So what Brook USA is doing is raising money to construct these shade shelters that will allow the animals to have just some respite. When they come into those market areas, they can get shade, they'll get water, they'll get a little something to eat and be refreshed and ready to make the long trip home again at night.
I'm sure the people appreciate that too.
Yeah.
Brook has been around for how long?
Brook has been around since the 1930s, yeah. So it's actually been in existence for, 84, 85 years.
So I want to ask a question, but I'm not sure how to ask it, so okay. I may need help with this one. What results have you seen? Is it making a difference, I guess, is my question. Yeah. And it's the same question that, you know, we would ask about what Monty's doing, mm-hmm. and we've talked about on the shows mm-hmm. before, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, because you guys are all about, the Brook is all about helping horses in developing countries mm-hmm. who don't have the life that they probably should, or, but then there's the other side of it. These people are really poor and can barely feed themselves, so there's that whole cycle.
Yes.
So what have you seen as the successes and the wins along the way? I guess is what I'm asking.
Yeah, well, that's a great question, because everything that we do, we want to be able to see measurable results. And that's why also everything that we do is sustainable. All of our programs need to be sustained long after we have moved out of a community and into another community. So that is measured a number of different ways, and the results that we see vary a lot from one community to the next, one country to the next. Some cultures seem to be much more willing to embrace changes than other communities. There are some countries that we've been in for decades. There are other countries that we've been in for much shorter periods of time. But once we have seen large numbers of animal owners really embrace the kinds of changes that we know are going to last, that frees us up then to move into another community, to use our resources, you know, well, by moving in someplace else. And we always stay in touch with these other communities. We keep checking back to make sure that they are continuing to take good care of their animals.
I love what the Brook is doing to keep people learning about their horses. Mm-hmm. You know, they learn not only the nature of the horse, but they're also learning that their tractor can stay in working order, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that was the thing that was so disappointing to Dad at first when he went to India. So Brooke sent him over to India mm-hmm. To see the working equid, they call mm-hmm. it, which is the donkeys, mules, and horses. And the people were so willing, and the Brooke people were so good at teaching. But it was frustrating to him to see that there were still, they would tie a horse by a front foot and have them in long lines, and it's 120 degrees or something. Mm-hmm. And it was just really heartbreaking to see. But I think Brooke is doing a good job of slowly peeling back
because
the problems.
Because this is really about helping the people mm-hmm. then
learn.
Who are helping
it's
the horses.
Teaching them to fish, you
it's
know,
helping
instead
the people.
Of giving them a fish.
Exactly. Said, education breeds interest, and the more educated they are in taking care of their animals, the more interest they will show in further and continuing to take care of them even more.
Yes.
But that's, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. That's mm-hmm. really hard when you're hungry.
That's why everything that we do is very practical. And as I mentioned, it's sustainable. So after we leave, we don't expect people to spend money buying expensive products that aren't available to them locally. We want the work to be done on the preventative end. That's why by teaching somebody to pick their horse's feet out every day, they're not going to have to turn around then and find, you know, a veterinarian to treat their lame horse later or, you know, any number of things like that. But we want to prevent these problems from happening to begin with. Yeah. We also, everything that we do can be locally sourced.
I was going to ask you, and you've come up with some creative feed alternatives for the animals.
Yeah,
too.
That's another great example. You know, we're so used to things in this country. Like, you know, if my horse needs to be boosted a little bit, I just go to the tack shop and get a nice feed supplement. That is not an option in the developing world. So we are able to work in all of these communities to, again, kind of going back to the scientific research, we're able to find, for instance, vegetation that can be locally sourced. You know, it may be traditional to feed one type of grass, but what we've been able to find is that there's another type of grass in that same vicinity that is much more nutritionally balanced. Or things like, you know, we can teach people to feed maize, and not just feed maize, but to chop it up before they give it to their animals, so the animal is more able to digest it.
Yeah, silage. You need to make a silage.
Yes.
Yeah.
So just a lot
Which,
of things.
Which, by the way, is the way it used to be done.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
For all the world.
Probably
forever.
Yeah.
So there are many things that we are able to do to teach people to how to make very, very significant improvements to their animals' welfare that won't cost them anything.
Does it ever feel like you're pushing a marble up a mountain?
Yes. Mm-hmm. However, we do, because we do see such great results, and because people are in general so willing to learn better ways of doing things, I think that helps to keep us from getting depressed about the, you know.
Yeah, about the marble up a mountain.
There are, there are 100 million working horses, donkeys, and mules in the developing world.
I didn't know it was that high.
Yeah. Last year, we reached 2 million, which is, 2 million is a phenomenal number. I don't think there's any other charity in the world that comes close to reaching the numbers of equines that we are in the developing world.
98 million
But it's
to
still
go.
Yeah,
that's it. That's right. Yeah. So, you know, we also want all of our programs to be very organic.
Well,
you know,
it's probably
people
why
teaching people teaching people
too, because it's incremental. You know, you don't think about the mountain. It's like dealing with an adoption from Ethiopia. Mm-hmm. When you look at the big picture, it's a mountain, and you just start at the very bottom and start one form at a time, one piece of paper at a time, which is what we're doing. And then you get that's kind of how the brook has to operate. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know what? These guys need shade. So let's just do that now. Then that's going to improve the lives of these guys and the people that are associated with it, because then they get shade, and then they want to take their animals into it. And everybody gets, I don't know if you guys watched, this is coming off the Red Nose Day, where Julia Roberts and Bear Grylls, she went.
I heard
and
about
took a vaccine. Mm-hmm. Like, kind of have met in the general meeting area, and there's not a dang lick of shade. Mm-hmm. And it's 120 degrees. Mm-hmm. And just in that, just the humans that have to deal with all of this, plus the horses and the donkeys and all the animals, it's overwhelming to me. And I'm super appreciative of everything y'all do.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, opportunities like this are so important for us, because it does give us a chance to tell people, you know, about the struggles of working equines. You know, having Monty as a global ambassador and Debbie as an additional cheerleader alongside Monty, those things make a very big difference. And we appreciate it so much, because a lot of the problems that we're dealing with do have very simple solutions. It's just a matter of getting it done. Yeah. And that comes down to funding always.
Yeah. We had Tick Maynard on our show in Kentucky, and I was like, your hat. And so I've learned that he and Sinead Halpin are very involved as well.
They are official advocates.
Eventing community involved, and to get the, you know, the natural.
And that Charlotte chick.
That one too.
Massage community, and then get Monty involved. Mm-hmm. And you guys are really reaching out to the, you know, and Nick. I mean, my gosh, throwing the polo guys in there. Mm-hmm. Jeez, like, it's awesome.
What, throwing a hot polo guy in helps raise money? Oh,
Cindy, we know why you did that.
And nothing to do with anything but a hot polo guy.
It's 100% fundraiser.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah.
And then cute donkeys. I mean, that helps too.
Cute donkeys. That's right.
FreeTheDonkeys.org is where you can find more information. What's the Brooke? Is it Brooke USA?
Brooke with an E. Brooke USA. org.
Any right, parting words for us? I know I cut you
I have, well, No. I have a plug for a Brooke event. It's a fundraiser for the Brooke in England, but it is next Tuesday. That's June 20. Dad will be there with the hot Nick Roldan. And
really?
Also, yeah. And Nick Skelton.
You weren't
and
invited?
William Fox Pitt.
You weren't invited?
And
what?
Charlotte. I'm sorry, Jamie. We're going to have in the U.S. We'll make one in the U.S., right, Cindy?
Yes,
okay,
absolutely.
Okay,
William Fox Pitt's involved, too. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, it's incredible. Cool. The people just kept piling in. And so it's the first annual Sunset Polo, and I think it's going to be a great one. I think it'll be an annual.
And there's other polo players
Is the
too?
Prince going to come out and play? Harry going to be there?
We're working on them all. Yeah, you bet. I love the Brooke. I think you guys are doing amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks a bunch. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you, Cindy.
Okay. Bye.
Well, we're going to take a quick break here. Jennifer's back at the studio, and she's going to help us honor our title sponsor, Kentucky Performance Products. And then I did a recording yesterday with a couple of girls I think you're going to want to hear from. We're helping support fellow podcasters. We'll be back in a few minutes live here from the American Horse Publications in beautiful Scottsdale, Arizona, 120 degrees.
She had waited all her life for this moment, dreaming about it since she was 10 years old. The trailer ramp touched the ground. He whinnied as she backed him out, swinging his head around to get a good look at his new home. His coat gleamed in the sun. Her love had arrived. She was breathless. He was beautiful. She could hardly wait to tack him up and start off on what she was sure would be the best times of her life. This love story is brought to you by Contribute, providing essential omega-3 fatty acids that help maintain low inflammation levels throughout your horse's body. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Call 859-873-2974 or visit kppusa.com to order today.
Well, I'm here with Abigail and Kate, and we're having fun at the AHP meeting. Now, you guys, I wanted to have you on because you guys have your own podcast, and I recommend when I do my talks at podcast conferences that you should do a niche podcast, and the nichier the better. Well, you guys won the prize for the nichiest podcast.
What do we get?
So what's the name of the show?
It's called The Freelance Remuda.
The Freelance Remuda, and tell us what it's about.
Well, it was Abigail's original idea, and she asked me to join her on it. We are both making a living as freelancers. We've both worked for
freelance writers
and photographers.
And photographers. Okay.
Content creators in multiple medias. But we both worked for magazines before we decided to go full-time freelance. So we have the same kind of background. And we thought that the questions that we have, a lot of other freelancers also have those questions. Same goes with struggles and successes. So we thought, let's build a stronger community of freelancers by sharing these topics, inviting guests on our show like editors and other freelance writers and even people on the fringe of the equine world that are gathering content for equine.
I was going to ask you, is this all equine or are you trying to gear it toward any freelance?
I mean, we're hoping that it'll help any freelancer, but in podcasting, did not see any, there wasn't anybody talking about the type of magazine writing we were doing. So there's a lot of creative entrepreneur podcasts. There's not much for freelancers for magazines. And so, you know, niche magazines, we're hoping that this will appeal to anybody that's writing for a niche publication or, you know, for photography for a niche. And so it's mainly horses, but we'd like to diversify a little bit and be able to reach more people or even encourage our equine media fellow freelancers to branch out to?
Of which you'll see all of them this weekend.
A lot of them are here. I think there's almost 30 of them coming to this conference alone.
You guys, too, are in a field. I'm glad you're doing this because you're in a field that's gotten tougher over the last 5 years. It's just gotten tougher. Photography, one, for sure, because of all the rights issues and just people using whatever. And then also, it's gotten tougher on the freelance side because magazines had tightened up a bit. And so it's good that you're doing this. And it's good you're trying to develop community around that because you're going to need to.
I agree. I think that there are struggles out there, and we kind of learned the hard way on, you know, what do I charge? How do I pitch an editor? What do I do if two different magazines want the similar story? How do I navigate these things? And a lot of it was, I would call it Kate, or Kate would call me, and we'd say, well, what do we do? And so we would talk through what's the most professional way to handle these things. And so, you know, along the way, I've been doing freelancing for 5 years. I realized, you know, I've learned some things the hard way. Maybe I can share them. Maybe we can talk to other freelancers that are even further ahead, or they're doing something they really love that's interesting. And maybe we can encourage our listeners that, you know, this is what we're doing, you know, and elevate the industry as a whole. To, you know, also encourage relationships between freelancers and content
because
buyers.
It still is a relationship business, isn't it?
Absolutely.
That's a big part of our presentation tomorrow is, you know, how to set goals, how to use your strengths to pitch and promote content, and then also those personal relationships, which, you know, it's not only networking kind of relationship, but building a friendship so that you have a support system to fall back on, because we had a lot of relationships from the magazines we worked for, and, you know, having those relationships and then the contacts that we made while working full-time for a magazine, that helped us kick off the freelance career because we already had a certain amount of knowledge of how a magazine works. And a lot of people, they'll come out of college and, you know, they want to work for themselves and freelance. Well, they have no idea the importance of hitting a deadline and how that'll ripple affect a magazine.
And how little money you're going to make at the beginning.
Yes. We'll speak at a senior seminar and they're like, oh, I think I made 45. I just want to roll on the floor laughing.
Yeah.
You know,
you have to start out at the bottom.
Nobody wants to work their way up now.
No, they all want to start at $100,000 a year. And, yeah.
But it's, it is a tough industry, but I think that, you know, we can all make it, and there is room for everybody, because as magazine staffs get smaller, they're still needing a high level and good quantity of content, and sometimes they can't get to it all, so they need freelancers.
Starting to use freelancers more and more and less employees?
We've talked to some editors about that, and I think that it swings both ways. I think what I'm seeing is the magazines that I write for want more content from freelancers. Others, you know, they're bumping up their staff. But for the most part, I found the magazines that I write for want more content.
Boy, and this is a reputation business you're in, too.
Absolutely. And that's something that we try to emphasize a lot, too. Don't burn bridges.
Yep.
Always be professional. You never know if that person you're sitting next to now, next week, might be your boss, or 6 months down the line, you're going to have to collaborate on a project. And it's a really small industry. If you can get in and you can establish a good reputation and be, you know, a trusted freelancer, then that'll really help your career.
Well, you know, again, you got to make friends with everybody in your niche. Yeah. And you know, we did that. I mean, I said, I'm going to make friends with everybody in the horse world, and eventually those friendships are going to pay off somehow, and they have.
Yeah.
But it may take a long time. And as you guys know, you may submit something today, but then that publisher doesn't pick you up for 3 years and the third one you submit, and then all of a sudden you're a regular.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It is
a reputation thing.
Yep.
And it is what, you know, those 3 years, you know, you need to continue to have a positive attitude, and you need to, you know, have
a solid brand.
One of our upcoming episodes talks about branding and rebranding yourself, and how the importance of, you know, what you put on social media, or, you know, how you act in front of other people, that is you, and you are a brand as a freelancer because you are the entity, you know.
Well, how do people listen?
Well, we're on iTunes, and people can also go to freelancebermuda.com, and you can listen with all the show notes there. We're on social media.
Freelancebermuda.com.
Yes. Freelancebermuda.com.
Well, thank you, guys.
We post twice. We have...
Twice a month?
Sorry, 2 episodes a month.
Okay.
And on the alternate weeks, we do have blogs, so there is extra content on the website, too.
Freelancebermuda.com.
Well, thank you to those two for joining me yesterday. It's so exciting to see other podcasts coming into the horse world and ones that I don't have to produce. So, so we don't have to edit, right, Jennifer? All right. So we have Christy back here from the CHA, and you're actually speaking at this conference. So you're in a panel, right?
That's correct. They do this great panel every year, Jamie and Glenn, where they do 45 great ideas in 45 minutes. So a bunch of us get on there, three or four people that they choose, and we can only talk for 1 minute. And then they ring the bell, the moderator, and said, you talk long enough.
Oh, how exciting.
So cool. And you have to give a bunch of different ideas on whatever the topic is.
Jennifer, can you buy one of those bells so I can use it on Jamie during the show?
Ding! Next. Okay, Christy, back to you. So you were saying.
I think that's a very powerful thing. I think he wants the power.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He wants something.
I do. I have a mute button. I use it occasionally.
There you go.
So this is cool. First of all, when I go to conferences, the panels are what I like the best. I learn more from the panels than I do one speaker. I just like the panel, which is why we can't come to your house earlier, because we're going to watch their panel and then head out.
Oh, that's today.
Cool.
Ooh, the pressure is on. Glenn is coming to watch the panel.
So you're done on time, because we have to get to Jamie's house.
Fair enough. Let's talk really fast.
So talk to us about what you're covering.
Yes. So their idea this time is 45 branding ideas in 45 minutes. So whether you're a freelancer and you have your own self-employed business, you have to have a brand, or whether you're a riding instructor, or whether you're a barn manager, or whether you're a rock climbing trainer, right? Whatever your thing is, you have to have a brand. So it's going to be 45 branding
ideas.
And
more and more people are becoming their own brand.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly.
Right? Especially if you're a rider.
Yes.
Explain what that means to become your own brand.
Well, let me give you an example, which is kind of a personal example. You know what I bought my kids for their birth present, like literally on their birthday? I bought them theirnames.com, theirnames@gmail.com for their website. I mean, for their email, sorry. And that's what I bought them, because who knows what they might be one day. I didn't want their names already taken. So that's branding.
Have you bought your son's name yet.com?
Crap.
You better get to work. You're a delinquent parent.
Get on it. Jennings.com. Nobody take that. I got to get home first. Okay, so it's using your name as your brand. So with like any, gosh, I mean.
Well, let's take William Fox Pitt. I mean, he is a brand,
true,
right? And, you know, a lot of times there's merchandise and marketing around that brand.
True.
So
for example, when you just said Christy from CHA is back on, I hesitate to say, but it's really Christy from Certified Horsemanship Association.
Ooh,
because I am not a household name with CHA yet. Ah. CHA is Colorado Hockey Association. CHA is Canadian Healthcare, or whatever the case may be. You see what
Canadian
I'm saying?
Canadian Healthcare Alliance.
So that's why.
Christy.
Yeah. So it has to be Certified Horsemanship Association, because we're the only one of that in the whole world. But there's a lot of CHAs.
Right.
A whole lot.
So what, do you have any pointers here?
Yes, this is really exciting. I have the answers before we take the test. So everyone listening is getting this beforehand. I don't think I can do all 45 though. So you still got to come.
Okay.
Ding!
So one of them, and I love this one. Don't ding me. It gets me really nervous. Okay, here we go. I'll talk about that. So make sure you have excellent products or services before you start marketing them, or it's going to go really horribly.
That's what we did wrong. Our show sucked at the beginning.
That's very basic, but like it's true. Like everyone wants to launch whatever, like, and not be ready for it.
Right.
People, like, merchandising and things like that.
Yes.
Look at this great shirt, and they're going to put it on, you know, social media, and then you go to order it, and you're like, well, I mean, I still have to get them.
Absolutely.
Made. Yeah. So good example.
Yeah. And then the other thing on here is this: make sure you're ready for the growth. So Groupon, for example, if you Groupon that you're going to, let's say, teach riding, and you only have two horses and 50 people show up for your riding lesson, you're going to have a problem.
Yeah.
So you have to make sure of whatever you're going to use, whether it's Living Social, Groupon, that you can accommodate it.
Absolutely.
If you're wildly successful.
You know, I don't know about your Groupons in your area, but in Ocala, there are horse riding ones in every week.
Yes.
I bought a riding lesson on Groupon.
Did you?
Absolutely.
How'd it go?
I still haven't taken it.
Oh, very good.
And that's what Groupon counts on.
Yeah, exactly. You got paid, and I did.
That's right.
I can't tell you how many restaurant ones I've left go and expired.
I bought it in the spring, though, and then it's now too hot, so I have to wait till fall.
Yes.
So.
There's a gypsy guy in our area that does tours of his farm, and he sells those Groupons all day long.
Right and left.
Yep. Uh-huh. Yep. It's amazing, but you got to be able to accommodate him, or all of a sudden it's gone horribly wrong.
Then it goes the other way.
Or you've underpriced it, and now you're losing money.
Yes, you got
which
it.
Which is why restaurants get burned.
Correct. Yeah. And Groupon, you know, they take some money, and that's how they stay afloat, right? So you've got to be cognizant of that.
Ding!
Yeah, I know. Ding! Okay, am I all done?
No,
your,
next one.
Oh, I get to do the one next more. One more. Oh, we have fabulous. Time for one okay. more.
So the next one, and I think and this one's
Jennifer's
really good.
And then Jennifer's going to kick you out.
Is know your niche. So know if you have, let's say, a barn, since we're talking today about horse stuff, and let's say your barn has an indoor arena, then you're going to go ahead and focus on that. If there's no other indoor arena within a 50-mile radius of you, if you have lights on and you're open in the evening for the hardworking person, or if you back up to National Forest, then market that. And yeah. then have those borders, the ones that want your particular thing. Don't try to be everything to everyone.
It's true. That's yeah. why we have so many shows.
I need that a t-shirt. Yeah. Don't be everything to everyone.
Yeah, you're
Don't
a little you're anything. A little guilty of that.
Well, it's hard not to. When you're high energy, type A personality, yeah. you're like, oh, we can accommodate this group. And then we're going to do this audience. And pretty soon you're like, oh, my goodness, we're now so fragmented. We can't do what we do right at all.
You want to bring your giant percheron into my stalls that are held together by screws? Sold. That's a
sure,
fabulous.
Great
really idea.
And I'm just going to charge you half the normal amount.
Yeah. He's yeah. so cute. Come on over. We'll figure it. We'll sort it out.
That's right. It'll respond.
You know, in this hour and a half, we're learning why Jamie's not making any money at the farm.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm at the right place then.
That's yeah, right. You're right here.
That's true. That's
right. The first step is admitting you have a problem, friend.
Then you move on from there.
Thank you, Christy. Appreciate it again.
So great to be on. All
right.
Bye.
That's going to be great.
We'll see you this afternoon.
Okay.
And we'll see you at the awards tomorrow night, for sure. Well, right, and you have to be about an inch from the mic there, Jennifer.
Okay.
So Jennifer is with us, and she's with Western Horseman. She's the senior editor of Western Horseman, and it was so funny. When she saw you were going to be on, she just about had a heart attack.
It's my favorite horse magazine, and I'm an inventor.
Wow.
Because it's so practical. I mean, how to tie a slipknot is an article. It's so smart. And I thought there's, I'm sorry that I'm geeking out because I love that magazine. And
she
my
was so
husband
excited,
is always like, why do you subscribe to a Western horse magazine? I'm like, there's so many pieces of information in there that you would not find from, you know, how to tie your horse in a trailer.
Yep.
That's an article or a page in Western Horseman. It's all the practical stuff that you can use. Plus hot cowboys. I mean, come on.
That's why I have the best job.
Hot cowboys.
Do you get to interview the hot cowboys?
I do. Yeah, yeah. I do. I just got back from Montana and Wyoming. I was up there for about 10 days.
You poor thing.
On ranches. And I got to interview a lot of ranch bronc riders for the Western States Ranch Rodeo Association.
Are they just like made of muscle? Pretty much.
They're pretty buff.
All muscle, yeah. no brain.
Yeah.
The way we like them.
They have brain. I'd say they have brain. But you just have to know how to talk to them.
I just meant
what they
want to
talk about.
Bucking horses or whatever.
Yeah. That, yeah.
A little less brain.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always get a kick out of, they like to, you know, kind of warm up behind the chute, stretch, and get their saddles and gear. And it's pretty entertaining to kind of
well, now, let's,
fake
let's
their ride.
Say, there's some cute yeah. cowgirls, too. Let's not leave them out.
Okay.
Discriminating.
Well, it's Western Horse Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Western Horse Woman.
And in one of our seminars just a little bit ago, photographer Scott Baxter explained why women don't like to be called cowgirls.
Why?
A lot of women working on ranches that, you know, work as cowboys for a living, it's a demeaning term.
Oh, yeah.
They want to be
it
called cowboys.
It kind of meant the wife.
Yeah. And yeah. you know, in a... you know, a long time ago, a lot of these women, they would go by cowboy girls.
Really?
And so, yeah.
yeah.
And so sometimes you have women that like to go by cowboy
God,
girls.
Not everybody can get offended at something.
I know.
I swear.
No.
Can't get anything right.
How long? Western Horseman has been around forever.
Since 1936.
Wow.
So can I hit on the head what people like about the magazine? Or, I mean, is that a goal of yours to be something for everybody?
Well, I think the horse industry in general, you know, we may all have different sports and disciplines and geographic diversity, but the horse is a universal language. I mean, we all love to talk about horses. And I think anybody that loves to talk about horses, you want to know what an inventor does. Or, you know, last night we had a speaker about the World Cup. I don't know that much about that. I'm just a Colorado cowgirl.
Cowboy
and I don't,
girl.
I don't mind being called cowgirl. I'm not as real deal. I'm a writer.
I'm a cowboy girl.
Yeah.
But I'd love to hear about different things, you know, that other people do. But yeah, we through the years have covered the show industry, the ranching industry, just general all-purpose information. And that
is it the oldest magazine in the horse world?
It's one of the oldest magazines.
I don't know of too many that are older than that.
And we have a lot of circulation, you know, pretty high circulation. Probably we always say we're the leading horse magazine.
Oh, I'm sure you are. You've been,
so, yeah.
Yeah.
I love it when I go into a gas station and I'm like, oh, Western Horseman's on the shelf.
In Arizona,
it's in the shelves in many places. It's really...
It's getting harder to find it.
Is it really?
Yeah, yeah. Just the nature of the magazine business, but we are distributed worldwide.
Okay, well, that brings up a good question, because obviously we're new media, right? How have you adjusted for the new media environment today? How has Western Horseman adjusted?
Question. Well, you know, we have typically have a readership that still values the print product. They like
you
to
mean see. Cowboys aren't tweeting away at
not, you gotta not have something to read in the bathroom. It's you know, magazines have always been bathroom reading, and you still need something.
It's and a lot of, you know, some of our readers, they don't have computers cell phones. They're in cow camps, or, you know, maybe they're just busy.
They have no internet at all.
But that's the bulk of our younger readers, especially, they get all of their news and information and from the internet. So Western Horseman has a website, westernhorseman.com, and we work very hard to try and get new things up there every day, and social networking. We're on Instagram and Facebook, and we have we post a lot from that. We go live from places where we are. Our staff is very active in traveling to different events around the country, and you can see us on live there, and then we'll write articles about where we've been. And so we've had to do that. And in some cases, I think we have more readers online.
Really?
Often. Yeah, because you just reach a whole nother audience that way.
So. You do. And it's a whole different world, and it's part of this conference has changed over the years too, in that there's more talk about marketing and media now than there used to be, because it's something that we all have to deal with that we didn't have to deal with 10 years ago the way we do now.
Yeah, it's no longer articles and photographs, it's content.
But in many ways it's gotten harder, hasn't it? Because there's more, now you got Instagram, and you got to keep up with all these things, and that's really hard and expensive for magazines to do.
Our staff does it all. We have a small staff, but we produce content for all of our platforms, we've had to learn video. We've had to learn Facebook, and it's a great compliment that we have a whole package now.
Well, congratulations. I know Jamie was very happy that you were coming over today.
He was. He looked at me like, what?
Well, it's a pretty special magazine. It really is. My dream. So
yeah.
It's awesome. Stay there as long as they'll have me.
Don't blame me, girl.
Well, you're a senior editor. I think you're going to probably be there a little while.
I hope so.
Well, thank you so much, Jennifer. We appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Jennifer. Take care.
How to tie a bowline knot. I mean, come on. Where else are you going to find that information? I've more than one time sat with my Western Horseman and a rope. Like, how do I do this?
Come on over, Jim. So coming up next on the show,
this is the time of the show where I'm going to lay down on the floor and get a personal massage.
That's right. He's the one to do it.
I don't know. Do you kick and bite?
Yes, she does. Okay. All right. We're on now. Come on, right up about an inch from the mic.
Okay.
Get real close. So we have Jim Masterson on here, who I was very surprised to see last night at the party. And of course, the Masterson Method. He's been on our shows over the years. And wow, why are you here at AHP?
Well, the booze is free, and people are fun, and we're in the education business, and I do magazine articles, so I wanted to meet publishers and editors, and so that's why I'm here.
Yeah, because, you know, you're in a different kind of environment in the horse world, and you do clinics and you do all of that kind of thing, but yet you still rely on the media. I mean, that's how you get the word out.
Right? Yeah, we got to get the word out. So that's why I'm here.
So for those who don't know the Masterson Method, give us the Reader's Digest.
Okay, we call it the 15-second elevator speech. So it's a method of equine body work in which you learn to read and follow subtle changes in behavior. I'll call them responses. Responses in the horse to help it release tension in key junctions of the body that most affect performance. So there's kind of two aspects to it. One is learning how to read changes in the horse as you're doing the work, and the other is working at levels of touch and pressure that stay underneath the horse's bracing response. Because if you can stay underneath the horse's fight or flight response, the horse will release a lot of tension on his own, and then we can continue the process to continue helping him release attention. But if you're working, if you're not paying attention to what the horse's body is telling you and he's internally bracing, then it's not as effective. So that was 15
Good
to
job.
30 second elevator speech.
Very yeah. nice. Yeah, we had you on that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like a month ago.
Yeah, it wasn't too long ago.
Yeah,
we were
yeah.
on the morning thing, I think.
That's right. That's
this
us.
Is mm-hmm. the morning
this
thing.
Is the morning thing in the afternoon. Well,
I still have my copy, even though it's late morning. Yeah, so it's kind of cool because it's interactive. You interact with the horse. You don't just do something to the horse. You do something with the horse.
Right.
So people.
No, after you talked, I was trying to do some stuff, and I realized I need a subscription.
Oh, okay.
Like, I need a DVD.
We'll get you one. No. Yeah, we will. And we have a lot of YouTube videos on our website, free YouTube videos on how to do certain different techniques.
Yeah, too. I know, because I saw you come in and I'm like, nope, Jim Masterson has a mustache. And now you have a full goatee.
I have a little goatee,
changing
yeah.
it up a little
it's
bit.
My winter coat. I haven't lost it yet. I got tired of shaving this winter. So,
how much work do you do now one-on-one with clients? Are you all in the training now, or do you still do one-on-one?
Well, I do one-on-one with clients in the course of training because all the training is hands-on. So okay. we go from different farms and different yards and barns to teach.
And
so,
our listeners actually could get you to come out if they get a certain number of people and stuff. They can do that, right?
Yeah, you can host a seminar, sponsor okay. a weekend seminar. I have weekend seminar instructors, and we do them all over the country. So
now, one of my hosts
if
is
anybody's interested, they should let us know.
So. One of my hosts is Dr. Wendy Ying, who is also she's a vet, but she's also a traditional Chinese medicine doctor. Right. And over the years, you might even know her. Over the years, we've found that the traditional Chinese medicine and the interest in massage and in acupuncture and in herbal medicine mm-hmm. has just gone like this. Have you yeah. seen it? Because you've been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
Have you seen that interest?
Yeah, it has grown. It yeah. is growing. Yeah, and it goes along with the interest in natural horsemanship and working with the horse rather than against the horse or to the horse. So, but I'm encouraged when vets are pursuing these paths too, because yep. traditional, you know, veterinary medicine is, hasn't been that way, but it's kind of, that's kind of opening up too. So that's,
well, her boyfriend or life partner is mm-hmm. a chiropractic doctor mm-hmm. for people, and now has converted the horses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of neat too, that the people doctors are seeing, you know, a transition there
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. But when I started doing this type of work, I wasn't interested in massage or any kind of other therapies. I was grooming hunter jumpers, and I would never have thought I would want to be interested. I was interested in getting massage, but when kind of like you, kind of like
yeah,
even if I didn't know what I was doing, that would, I'd be open. So.
Exactly.
Well, but back then, so
yeah.
But anyways. I noticed when the trainers would have massage therapists or acupressure or acupuncturists or chiropractors work on our show horses, that there were these certain changes in behavior, and that the horses were I call them responses that the horses were giving that they weren't necessarily watching or following because they were trained to do something different. So I was intrigued by that. So I wasn't interested in alternative therapies or any type of therapy. I was just, you know, but I was interested in what the horse was saying. So I kind of went with that, and it turned out that. So is everybody else interested in that too? You know, everybody right. wants to their relationship with their horse. They don't want to just do stuff to their horse or with their horse. They want a relationship with their horse. So it kind of fell in line with that.
Where can people find you if they want to book it?
Oh, I'm sitting right here across the table from you.
He's right there, Glenn.
Here, you want some of this coffee? Oh, sorry, that was a joke. MastersonMethod.com online.
But he's very funny too. Yeah. yeah.
Well,
yeah.
when I'm awake, yeah.
Yeah. Mastersofthemethod.com. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks. That's fun.
All right. Yeah. Take care. Good to see you.
Yeah. Nice to meet you.
Thanks, Jim.
And now up is Tracy Noel, who's a friend of the Horse Radio Network. Come on up here, Tracy. Be real close to the mic. How you doing?
Good morning. I probably need some coffee too, like he just mentioned. Been kind of got up early this morning to get here, but I'm glad to be here.
Dapple Gray Communications.
Yeah, this morning
I did. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah, that's. I don't think I'll do that.
You're
again.
From what? St. Louis.
Yeah, St.
Yeah.
Louis.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yep. Had to go through Chicago Midway and walk about a half a mile to the gate, which I didn't know.
Bless your heart. So, that's
that
early
is one
morning.
Big airport.
Yeah,
too.
That's okay. Glad to be here and see you guys and meet you in person.
Yeah, I don't think all those years we've known each other. So, what do you do in the horse world?
Well, let's see. I'm a humble lesson student in riding at the moment and would like to wind up leasing something one of these days. So, working toward that. But I've been. Riding hunters since I was 5. I was the youngest student that they ever had at the barn that I started at back in New Jersey, not Hunterdon. Hunterdon was sort of, I was just having this conversation, was Mecca when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, the trainer's daughter got to go to ride with George. But like I said, so I've been in and out of that world and just...
what are you doing now? What's Dapple Gray do?
Dapple Gray is how I've branded myself as an all-purpose communications outfit, and really focus on social media management. That's what I love to do, and have had good luck with that in the past with other clients. And also,
has the George called you for help yet?
Yeah.
No, I wish you would. That would be awesome. Yeah, and I'm also but regular PR services as well, whether it's, you know, event planning or, you know, finding promotional materials or what have you, or just, you know, working with companies to get their name out and get them, you know,
you
more
hard for your money.
Yeah, more well known.
We first met over Manure, didn't we?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did meet over Manure. Yeah, that's it. And then I'm also a writer. So, you know, pretty much if it needs to be written, I can do it. So that's I like doing the wearing different hats type of thing.
Great.
And enjoy anything, especially, you know, and it doesn't have to be horse related, or that's my favorite. So that's it. Yeah.
But you can't get a horse girl too far from a horse.
Nope, you can't. That's it. And I was even able to write about Manure, as you said.
Yeah. So
learned more about that than I ever knew. So.
That's true. And Manure spreaders.
Yep.
Yeah. That's right.
So,
well, great. I'm glad that you came out to this and good luck this weekend. Have fun. What's the website?
DapplegrayCommunications.com.
DapplegrayCommunications.com.
Yep.
Very good. Thank you, Tracy.
You're welcome.
You were at a session, so I'll let you get back. So we have a couple of minutes here before our next guest. It is fun to be out here. So Debbie and I are going to go over this afternoon, and we're going to meet all the critters that we haven't met yet.
Yes.
Debbie's never been to your place either.
Debbie has never. I go to your house.
Yeah, that's right.
I go to Flag Is Up. So yeah, this is really cool to see you guys here in Phoenix. Now you've been to the house.
Yep.
But Debbie has not, and so she's basically, I think what's happening is she's coming to check on Precious Magic Al Jennings.
Yes, who you adopted from Debbie from Flag Is Up Farm.
I did. I adopted little
I watched a video the other day. That horse has gone from being a derelict to a feisty little pony.
She was. I mean, even as a little wormy, matted, disgusting, emaciated thing, she was still a feisty little pony. Like that was one of the things in the course. It was like, this one's going to be tough. This one's got a mind of her own. It's a little pony mare, you know? So what else can you expect? But she is now over with baby Zara, easing the transition of weaning for baby Zara. Pink, Mama Pink is not easing the transition very well, but she's over there to hang out with baby Zara. And so hopefully I planned on next week, but may have to wait till after the massive heat that we're going to have, but getting her started. She's healthy enough to actually, I think, start.
And you're small enough to ride her, so that'll work.
I tried to employ a student, and I found one of my students who's super tiny that rides a pony. She's a very good rider. And I said, okay, you're going to be my first rider. I'm like, I'll walk you through the whole thing. Everything's great. And she broke her foot 3 days ago.
So guess who gets the
rider? Oh, God dang it. Now that's me. I'm the rider now. I'm next in line of tiny.
All right, let's hear from our sponsor, Ovation. And then we're coming back. We're going to say hi real quick to a regular on the Horse Radio Network in just a minute.
Horse people know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire, affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store, or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. ovationriding.com.
Well, we have somebody that just walked by, and Debbie drug her over and sat her in the seat. And Jennifer's going to be happy to hear this. Come right up to the mic there. Shauna Koresh is with us. Hey.
Hi there. It is great to be here. And it's nice to finally meet Jamie in person, too.
Oh, my gosh. We've talked for years.
You've been coming. We have met people that we've been talking to for years for the first time here at this conference.
Yeah, really cool.
And Shauna, of course, clicker training. Everybody knows her from that. And why are you at this conference?
I've been coming here for years, actually. I started coming here in 2000, probably. And it's just a great place to meet people and network. And back then, nobody knew about positive reinforcement. So it was a way to kind of form relationships. And I was sponsored by Pfizer back then. Yeah. And so they would kind of say, come on along. But I quite like it. I enjoy it. And now I do have an online business. And,
presence,
and naturally,
right?
all these pieces that are publishing are part of kind of getting out there and sharing with people. So there's lots of relevant information.
Well, good. I'm glad.
Yay.
So, and you know, we've known you for so long. And of course,
it's weird. It's like everybody keeps saying to me, I hear the voice and then I see the face.
When I worked with a re-mammal, sometimes people come along and go, oh, you're the sheriff of Creepy County. And they're like, we recognize your voice. And I hated that.
Hold on. Back the truck up. What is the sheriff of Creepy County?
It was a sea lion and otter character that I would play a lot.
Oh,
so they would record in the show? Back when it was VHS. And their kids would watch it over and over and over and over. So the moms would go, it's the sheriff of Creepy County.
Now, I know a couple people that worked at the SeaWorld shows, a couple women that have worked at SeaWorld shows and stuff. And the worst part for them was wearing those tight, tight, tight black outfits.
Yeah,
that was the worst part. They said, oh, just hated doing that.
But it's even worse if you're getting in 54 degree water without them. So.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's a lesser of two evils, I guess.
Well, thank you, Shauna. We appreciate you running in here.
Great to be here. Right. Thanks, you guys.
All right, good to see you. Jennifer says hi.
Hi.
All right. We are coming up next. Come on over, ladies. We have Rachel and Jessica from Chrome Magazine. And the reason we have them on is there's a big award every year, the Magazine of the Year Award. Is that what it's called, by the way?
It is called General Excellence.
You need to be right about an inch from the mic. Oh, right up close.
It's the American Horse Publications General Excellence
Award. Yeah, it's like the big, big
award.
We didn't get nominated for that. But Chrome Magazine did, and I can see why. This thing is a coffee table book. And first of all, where is Chrome from? Who publishes Chrome?
Chrome is produced by the American Paint and Horse Association, and we are an international organization, but we are based in Fort Worth, Texas.
The pictures, it really is a coffee table book.
It looks just like chili, not at all. It was way prettier.
But why do you think that you were the top magazine of the year last year, Rachel? Why do you think that?
Well,
come on, write it.
Chrome's really been a labor of love for us. Jessica and I and a couple others really kind of took it over starting in about 2013 after its first year. And we started with a really, really cool concept. And ever since then, we've been fine-tuning it to not only be this beautiful, beautiful magazine, but also be in touch with the actual people who are reading our magazine, which are real paint horse owners and lovers, and telling some of the very unique and very cool stories that come along with it. And, you know, the paint horse is very beautiful and captivating in itself. And so really having that mission to create a magazine as unique as the horse that tells these very cool stories of the people who love paint horses and tell it in a visually interesting and inspiring manner as well.
But how the heck did you convince the bosses to put out what has to be a very expensive magazine to publish?
It was definitely a gamble for a breed association to create something like Chrome.
Yeah, this isn't cheap.
It's not.
So who gets it? So if you are a member of the APHA, you have a paint horse, is registered, you get the magazine.
Yeah, Chrome goes to all current APHA members, and the only way to get it is to be a member of the association.
I got to buy it.
It's a member perk. Yeah. So it is, you know, like I said, it was a huge gamble. No other breed association that we're aware of had done anything like Chrome at this point. And
there's another magazine, the Paint and Horse Journal.
There is. Yeah, our flagship magazine.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not like you have...
You guys are in bed with them then. We're not like... You
didn't no, they're the same organization.
We do the same thing. We do both magazines. It's a one-stop
That's what
shop.
I mean. They started a second magazine.
That
Who does that
awkward,
today?
Glenn.
I do that. So I was good. Yeah, but that, you know, I opened this one up and the first article I come to is Spirit of the West, and that is the paint.
Right.
Right there.
Yeah, we took the the pain horse persona, which is, you know, the beautiful horse with a really deep history of Western culture. And we know, you know, in today's society, not all of our, you know, really probably the majority of our people don't grow up on ranches, but we have a rich ranching heritage. Most of our people, you know, some of our people maybe don't own horses, but they love horses. And so Krone was designed to help connect people who love pain horses and love the Western lifestyle with a reason to be part of an association.
And now, as opposed to the Pain Horse Journal, which is open to anybody to buy.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Yeah. Right. So that's the difference, is this is the member magazine.
You know, and we definitely have different voices in both publications. They are not at all the same. They are sisters in a way, but they are very unique individual publications.
Well, and you see finalists on your tag too. Mm-hmm. So what are you guys up for this year?
We're up for a whole host of awards.
You were last year. You pretty much took them all away last year. People were mad at you. They started throwing things and food.
It was a banner year last year.
Yeah, I was like, then again?
Both of our publications are up for awards in editorial content, photography, design, cover, and Pain Horse Journal is now this year up for the association's best publication. So there's several different categories. One is association-based magazines. One is, open magazines. One is, you know, corporate things. And so they all compete in their own category and then go up for, you know, the winners of those categories go up
to your
the
best
overall.
In show.
Best in show. That's
exactly.
Right. That's exactly what it is.
I wanted to show you
is.
Guys up my pain horse.
Oh, it's beautiful. Oh.
You can use that one.
Love it. You'll have to send that to us.
Yeah. A picture of Lucas and Chili. So he's a good
Chili, by the beautiful. Way, is very popular on the show because he has the most annoying whinny in the world. And we use his whinny all the time.
The most unique whinny.
No, it's annoying. No. It is really annoying.
It's annoying. It's not unique. It's like he's in a barn fire.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Well, congratulations, guys, on this
Thank
for
you.
Last year. And we wish you the best of luck tomorrow night, but not as much as you had last year because some other people want to win.
Yeah.
Stuff.
So. The great thing about American Horse Publications is the variety of magazines you get here and connections that everyone does a really good job.
Well, she asked
really
earlier, this is her first time here, and it was an interesting question you asked somebody, Diana, I think, at the beginning of the show, where she asked, you know, you're all in competition. Mm-hmm. Yet,
but we're all family.
Yeah. And that's what's kind of
you know,
neat.
We all have the single, you know, the same mission, you know, deep down in that we want to perpetuate the horse culture. And if you love saddlebreds or you love Arabians or you love pain horses, it's all good for the horse industry because it's more people coming into our world and then they can flux between the breeds and the disciplines and everything. But it's good overall for everybody.
For the good of the love of the horse. Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line.
That's what
line.
It all comes down to. Well, you guys said it very well. What's the website for the Paint Horse Association?
APHA.com is the
everybody
main
knows
website.
That, Glenn.
Krone's website is MyKroneLife.com.
MyKroneLife.com, and that's CHROME. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Take care.
I saw that magazine, and I was like, first of all, it could be Monty's horse, because Monty's horse's name is Krone. And then
that's right.
It's a magazine about California.
His big horse was named Krone, right?
His name, Krone.
Yeah, well, come on over here. Shelley is coming in because she's kind of a superstar in the horse world, and she's kind enough to join us. Real close.
Now
about
you're
going to
make
away.
Me blush.
You're known for your videos. When?
Really?
How did that start?
You know, about not last Christmas, but the Christmas before, a guy named Casey Neistat did a snowboarding through New York City video. Did you ever see that?
Yes.
And I shared it on Facebook, and somebody's like, you need to watch his vlog. And I spent like the next few days just watching every episode. I mean, I've watched every episode of this guy's vlog. I feel like he's family. And I thought, you know, I could do this. And I could do this with horses. And I could do this with photography. And mine isn't like his at all, actually. But it gave me the idea and the courage to put myself in front of a camera. And
of course, we're talking to Shelley from Ride the Sky Media. And I know some of you have watched those. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of neat because the first thing when I came in last night and I forget I was talking to, I said, well, I'm going to need a couple guests for tomorrow. And they went right to you.
Oh,
so
that's awesome.
So what are you?
No pressure.
Yeah, no pressure.
None at all.
What are you? Where did the success come from? Why are the videos popular?
You know, YouTube is to the younger generation
what like just cable or TV was to us. They don't watch TV anymore. They watch YouTube.
YouTube. Yeah.
And I can see that the writing on the wall with that. And that's why I'm so interested, even just in video in general, in the equestrian area, because there's so many equestrians who are younger and they want to find equestrian content on YouTube.
If you give my phone to my four-year-old, all the apps and all the crap games I've paid for, he goes right to YouTube.
Yep.
And really? He's at that age where it's converted now from
He's not watching
Frogger to,
Yeah, he's probably watching like silly science and, you know, blowing up things.
I wish it was educational and
really?
Interesting. It's really pretty painful Paw Patrol, you know.
So. Oh, yeah.
I Googled Ride the Sky, and did you know that you are a progressive power metal band formed by about six different members?
Really?
Yeah.
No idea.
I didn't know those were the kind of videos you were doing.
Yeah. Ooh, was that in YouTube?
I Googled it, and apparently and that's you what are it a came progressive up. Power metal band.
I've always wanted to be that. Yeah. My life, my bucket list is complete.
What do you do in the videos?
So in my YouTube videos, last year I was doing more like about my life with my horses on my farm. But first of the year, I really decided to convert it more to photography tutorials. I guess that's what happens when you merge those words. And so one of the things I'm known for that I'm going to be filming later this week is called Behind the Lens, where I put a GoPro on the top of my camera and I just let it run while I'm out shooting and people can see what you would see.
Because you are a professional photographer.
I am a professional. Also that. On top of that, yes, I'm a professional. I do portrait, but I also do commercial work. And
so people are going to be able to see you do your thing.
They can see me do my thing. And then what I do is like, I'll kind of show a few minutes or a few seconds of the video and then you hear a shutter click and then I show the still image that I created in that moment. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
That's kind of cool. That got me goosebumps. I'm thinking about that.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
And later so after the conference, I'm going to visit a friend who trains Mustangs and she's going to take me out to, I think it's called Salt River.
Salt River Wild Horses.
Yep. Yeah. And I'm going to do a behind the lens if we find some wild horses out there.
I'll tell you where to go.
Okay.
She knows.
Well, she knows where to go. She says she's only never been skunked out there. So she's a tip trainer.
Okay.
In Castle Creek. Annie McDermott.
Yeah, we haven't had her on.
I love going to look at the Salt River.
Ooh, you
horses.
Should. She also runs a youth tip, like a youth Mustang challenge.
Oh, cool.
For teenagers and to take those horses and get them gentled.
Very cool. Where can people find you?
They can find me at RideTheSkyMedia.com or ShellyPaulson.com.
RideTheSkyMedia.com.
And YouTube.
She's not the progressive power
band. Not the power band. No. And my YouTube channel is YouTube.com/ShellyPaulson.
Got it. Thank you, Shelly. Right.
Thanks for having me on.
I'll see you around weekend.
Yes.
And we need a winner to come over here now. If you could grab her. We're going to finish the show out with, there's an award given away every year here that's kind of the award for people who have given a lot of service to the horse world and who have done some amazing things. And I cannot think of anybody, better to win that award than Sydney, who is here with Horses for Heroes. Sydney Knott, you won the Visionary Award. Congratulations.
Thank you, Glenn. I'm very happy to be here.
Horses for Heroes does amazing work. And how long have you been around? 2006?
2006. We just celebrated our 10-year anniversary.
Tell everybody who doesn't know, first of all, out of Vegas, so you're up there with all the partying. And
animals.
But you actually have one of the very few farms up there. So what do you do?
Actually, Glenn, there are 100,000 horses in Las Vegas.
There are?
Yes, sir.
Well, we went out there. We couldn't find a place to ride.
They're not all in the casinos. Yes.
You have to get outside the valley. But yes, we know that that's an important statistic. What was the question?
Okay, so what do you do?
Yep. You know what? We think of ourselves as a YMCA with horses. We are that place where any family can come and learn how to care for and ride horses. We just so happen to target families who are active duty service members, veterans, police officers, firefighters, school teachers, and nurses. And if you'd like to be a hero, if you're not a hero, you can join for $50. Our organization, and then you can still come and get the discounted rates at all of our facilities.
And you do a lot of the kids of the soldiers that are over there, right?
Well, we serve ages 2 to adult. So whether you're deployed or active duty, we'd love to get the moms and dads riding too. Sometimes they just bring us the kids. We do summer camps. We're doing a very exciting summer camp in Las Vegas, 9 weeks. We're averaging about 45 kids a week. But you know, the point is to get these kids out on a horse and learning, even in the heat of summer, hey, horses are a 24/7, 365 activity. You don't get to sit inside with your video games because it's too hot out. Horses have to be fed. They have to have their stalls clean. They have to be cared for. You don't get to sit inside in the air conditioning. You got to get out and care for your animals.
Well said. I live in Phoenix. This is awful.
Yeah.
I wish somebody would do it.
How important is it for the kids of service men and women that are deployed to have that extra outlet?
Well, you know, that's important. We are in a time right now where more men and women have been deployed than any time in our history. You know, and even in Vietnam, we saw one or two tours, and these men and women are going 3, 4, 5, 6 times. It's taking a tremendous toll on the children. They're very resilient. They're great kids, but they need to have that stability in their life that there is a friend they can count on. And you know very well that a horse is that great friend that you can always count on.
Right. Do you have any idea of how many of those kids that have come out and sat on a horse for the first time that end up being horse teenagers, you know, the addicted ones?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that. At my camp that we're running, our camp we're running this summer, I've got 3 teen counselors that came to me as youngins, probably 6, 7, 8 years ago. Wow. To camp. They came to camp as youngins, and now they're as teenagers. They're working the camp as counselors in training or paid counselors.
So there is a cost to these kids coming out? I mean, it's like a reduced...
Sure. It's again, using the Y model, it's affordable horseback riding. So if, for example, you are a member of Horses for Heroes, we're charging $125 per week, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, for these kids to come to camp.
That's insane.
They are riding horses. We have a water slide we're putting in the corral this afternoon. We went to the Texas for buffet and bowling on Wednesday. We have martial arts instructors, but they are riding and working with horses 4 days a week. Now, at $125 a week, that comes out to $25 a day. No, it's not free. Costs our nonprofit $90 for one of those children to come to camp. But these people have jobs, and I know that it's a lot, but
that's
so. But you
lot.
Know what the YMCA charges?
That's
money.
Not a lot.
Everybody
actually.
Else charges
most
money
camps
for their
are $1,000.
If you want your kid to go to a week long camp while you're working, it's going to cost you money, and
right.
So we tried
$100 for a week.
Sure. Well, yes. Well, but our camp isn't a horse camp. Keep in mind that horse camps are typically one on one with a horse for the whole time. This is the horse is maybe 15-20%
sure,
of the day.
You still have the horse overhead.
Sure. Yeah. But you still have...
You still have to feed them.
But that's why we have 45 kids in camp. That's a lot of kids. But not everybody that comes to camp, a lot of them want to muck stalls. They'd rather muck a stall than ride a horse. Mm-hmm. But the point is they got outside. There's yes. no technology. And they got to be in a wonderful
Can
environment.
Can I send my 4-year-old?
Yes.
He yeah. Can
here,
you keep him then for the whole summer?
Right,
I'll
to.
See you in 9 weeks.
I'll tell you, the young ones do really, really well. And and you know what? Not everyone can own a horse, and not everyone should own a horse. But everybody should be able to ride a horse.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to leave it at that. I can't think of a better way to end the show than with that statement right
Amen,
there.
Sister.
All right.
Thank you so
Thank
much
you.
For joining us today. And congratulations again.
Thank you. Very honored for this recognition.
Well, you should be. And you've deserved it.
Thank you.
So thank you for that. Well, we're going to wrap up our show here from the American Horse Publications. AmericanHorsePublications.org is where you can find the website. We appreciate you listening. Sorry, we were a little delayed today, but we could. It's 6 o'clock here when Jamie normally gets up and does the show. And I thought for sure you were going to give me crap about me coming out and delaying the show. But then I didn't think any of these people would want to get up and be guests.
You know, lie all you want about, oh, it's because the people
the guests,
couldn't
they
do
wouldn't
it. It's
get
all
up.
The guests.
No,
whatever, you're all on East Coast time.
Yeah, believe me, I was up at 3:30 this morning, wide awake.
You're welcome. Welcome to my world.
We'll be back on Monday, though, with back in the studio again. I'll be home, and we'll bring a show to you on Monday. I think we have a fairly normal week next week. So thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much to the good folks here at the American Horse Publications for putting us up and getting all of this arranged. We really appreciate it. Thank you, Jennifer. We'll see you, everybody. Have a terrific weekend.
Spay, neuter, geld.